Today's daf is Pesachim daf Yud. We are at the two dots, 18 lines from the bottom of daf Tesa Midbeis, Teisha Tziburin Shal Matzah Ve'echet Shal Chametz. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza and Avadya Ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Yibod L'Chaim Toivim Rev Moshe Chaim. So today's daf is going to discuss several shailos as it relates to the laws of bedikas chametz. The shailos that the Gemara is going to discuss are very lumdish shailos. The fundamentals of the shailos that the Gemara is going to discuss are fundamentals of shailos that appear in other areas of Shas. In fact, the Gemara is going to bring precedent to the different shailas from some of the well-known sugyas. So today's daf is really a smorgasbord of some of the classic Gemaras in Seder Noshim Nezikin. So before today's daf, just a quick recap of some of the yisoidos that we saw in the first week of learning Masechtas Pesachim. The topic, of course, of the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim is the mitzvah bedikas chametz. The Masechta begins, Erlar ba asar, boitken as hachametz lo'iraner. The Gemara said very clearly on daf Dalet Amid Beis that the mitzvah bedikas chametz is only a mitzvah derabbanan. What do you mean it's a mitzvah derabbanan? Isn't there an assay of ach b'yei marishin tashpis usarmi bateichen? Isn't there a lois assay of bal yeira? Isn't there a lois assay of bal yimatze? The teretz is, of course there is. However, Chazal also required one to do bittel. And when a person is mevatel his chametz, at that point, he will not be over the lav of bal yeira, bal yimatze. Regardless of the lumdus of how bittul works. But at the end of the day, when a person's mevatel is chametz, when he says kol chamir v'chamiyah, at that point, there's no bayura, there's no bayimatze, there's no tashbisu, that's all off the table. If that's the case, why then did the Chachamim say you should do bedikas chametz? It's for an ulterior reason. Rashi said in the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim, it's because Chazal were afraid that maybe you won't be mevatel properly. Tosfos said it's because we're concerned that maybe you'll find a gluska yafa, you're going to find chametz in your house on Pesach, and you're going to decide you want to eat it. That's all raid and lumdus that we spoke about earlier in the Masechta. Raid and lumdus that Be'ezus Hashem will get back to at some point. But for now, all we need to internalize and know very clearly is that the obligation for a yid to take a candle the eve of Yud Dalet Nisan and go check b'chayim v'stokim b'chol makim shemaknisim b'chametz, also known as the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, it's only a mitzvah derabbanan. So as it relates to sveikos and roiv and chazaka, you have to look at it from the prism of how you treat a din derabbanan b'makim safek, not how you treat a din deraisa b'makim safek. So as we mentioned, the Gemara is going to go through many different cases and shailois and sveikos as it relates to bedikas chametz. Really, each one of these cases require its own introduction. We won't do that. But the first one, I think, is definitely kedai to introduce properly. And that is, there's a well-known halacha, kol deparish Meruba Parish. There's an also slightly lesser known halacha, and that is Kol Kavua Kemechtzal Mechtzadami. So what's Kol Deparish Meruba Parish, and what's Kol Kavua Kemechtzal Mechtzadami? The context is a sugya in Masechtas Chulin, which also appears in Ksubis and Nida, and really throughout Shas. There were 10 stores in the city. 9 of them sold kosher meat, and 1 of them sold non-kosher meat. You now find a piece of meat. You have no idea which store it came from. What would you assume? For sure, there's a halacha called roiv. Kol deparish meruba parish. There's a 90% chance, statistically speaking, that this meat came from a store that sells kosher meat. There's a 10% chance that it came from a store that sells non-kosher meat. As a result, you would assume for sure it came from one of the stores that sell kosher meat. Hence, you would say the halacha is that you could assume the meat is kosher. Stating that, it's mavur, that's not so pashut. Sometimes that's the case, but that's not always the case. And the difference is a subtlety. If you find a piece of meat on the floor, you're walking in the street, you see a piece of meat, you know it came from one of these 10 stores, you have no idea which one it came from. Then we say, kol deparish, meruba parish. Meaning, it was nimtza, you found it on the side of the road, we assume that it probably came from one of the stores that sell kosher meat. If, however, you bought the meat from one of the stores, you just don't know which store you bought the meat from, then we don't say, kol deparish, meruba parish. What's the difference? When you find it on the side of the road, when the suffix was chal, there was just one piece of meat in front of me. When I buy the piece of meat from the store, what's the suffix? Which store did I buy it from? There, you have to reckon with all 10 stores. And as a result, you can't say kol deparish meruba parish. Again, we're not learning the sugya now of kol deparish meruba parish and the sugya of kol kavur kemechza mechzadami. But what we need is the principle. And by the way, kol kavur kemechza mechzadami is a gzeiras akasav. So if it's something that's difficult to understand, at the end of the day, just realize it's really based on a pasuk. It's based on a gzeiras akasav. But the bottom line is that if I see one piece of meat on the side of the road, I could assume right. If 90% of the meat in this city is kosher, I'm going to assume it's from the 90% kol deparish meruba parish. If, however, I walked into a store, I bought a piece of meat, I took it out of the store. So if I was the one that was pirish it, I removed it, then you don't have the halacha of kol deparish meruba parish. Then you say kol kavur kemechza mechzadam. So what does that have to do with bedikas chametz? There were 9 bundles of matzah. Echad chametz, and there was 1 bundle of chametz. A mouse came v'shakel and he took it. And he brought it into your house. You checked your house. You did the bedikas chametz. We're dealing with bedikas chametz specifically. You did the bedika. Now all of a sudden a mouse just walked in through your front door holding one of these siburim. You don't know if it's from the 9 matzah, in which case you're fine, or if it's from the 1 chametz, in which case we have a problem. So fuck the Gemara. And if you don't know imatzah, shakali chametz, shakal, hainu teshach hanuyos. This is literally the case of teshach hanuyos, where the halacha is that you have to assume that being that you saw the mouse take the chametz from the bundles, it's as if you walked into the store and bought the piece of meat, where the halacha is that if you took the meat out of the store, you don't say kol deparish meruba parish, even though most of the stores sell kosher meat. Rather, you say kol kavur kemechza mechzadami. So to hear, when the achbar took one of the tziburim from the taruvos of the 10 tziburim, you're going to say kol kavur kemechza mechzadami. Piresh, what would be if you didn't see the mouse go and take one of the tziburim from the piles of tziburim, but rather there was one of the tziburim sitting on the side, and now a mouse came and he took it through the front door. That would be the sefer. What's the sefer? The Gemara is going to speak it out inside, but let's just speak it out outside. That's the case where you found a piece of meat on the side of the road, where you didn't walk into a store and take out the piece of meat, but rather the piece of meat was on the side of the road. Oh, in that case, the halacha is going to be that you're going to say call the parish meruba parish. So what's this ratio? What's the sefer? What's the case of teshach hanuyos? We spoke it out outside, now inside. The Tanan, teshach hanuyos, there were 9 stores, kulo meichem basa shkuda. All of them sold basa shkuta with the exception of one. And you bought from one of them. You don't know which one you bought it from. Sveika Yasser. Over there it's going to be Yasser. If you physically bought this piece of meat that you're not sure now is kosher or not kosher, then we say kol kavur kemechza mechzadami, and you can't say roiv. Ubenimsa, if however you found a piece of meat, then the halacha is halach acharoiv, then you could assume right. Next case, shnei tziburim, there were 2 bundles, echad shal matzah v'echad shal chametz. So in the first case, it was teisha tziburim shal matzah v'echad shal chametz. There were 10 tziburim, 9 were matzah, 1 was chametz, and achbar took into your house one of these tziburim. You don't know if he took from the 9 matzah or if he took from the 1 chametz, and we applied the rules of kol deparish meruba parish and the rule of kol kavur kemechza mechzadami. The second case is where there were not 10 tziburim, there were only 2 tziburim. One was matzah and one was chametz. L'fnei shnei batim. And there were 2 houses. Not 1 house, 2 houses. Echad baduk. One of the houses, you already did a bedika. Ve'echad jene baduk. The other one didn't have a bedika. Ve'asu shnei achbarim. There were also 2 mice. Echad shakal matzah. One of them took the matzah. Ve'echad shakal chametz. And one of them took the chametz. So you have 2 tziburim. You have 2 houses. And you have 2 achbarim. Here's the bottom line. V'lo yadino. We don't know. Hai lahai ayol. V'hai lahai ayol. One of these achbarim is walking around with matzah. The other one's walking around with chametz. They each walked into a house. Is the chametz in the house that already did a bedika, in which case it would have to do another bedika, or maybe it's in the house that didn't do a bedika, which is not a problem, because this fellow anyways still needs to do his bedika, or maybe vice versa. So it's a suffix. We really have no idea. There's no rive over here, because all it is two tziburim. There's a 50-50 chance. So what's the halacha? So as the Gemara, I'm going to tell you the halacha. Hainu shtei kupos. I have a precedent for this. This is the halacha of shtei kupos. Tanya, we learned to the brayta. Shtei kupos. There were 2 kupos, 2 barrels. Achashol chulim, achashol chuma. One of them had chulin food inside, and the other one had chuma inside. But the name shnei sa'im, and there were 2 sa'im of food. Echashol chulim, achashol chuma. One had chulin, and the other one had chuma. V'naflu elulu teichevu. And one of the sa'im fell into one of the kupos, and one of the sa'im fell into the other one of the kupos. Here's the question. Did the chulin fall into the chulin, and the chuma fall into the chuma? That'd be great.
Or did the chulin fall into the truma and the truma fall into the chulin? In which case, both kupais now are made up of a combination of a taruvos of both chulin and truma. So the truth is, this sounds like a good old-fashioned suffix, right? Wrong. This is a chiddush. Shani oy, what we say is that shani oymer chulin l'toich chulin naflu v'truma l'toich truma naflu. We say a very big chiddush. We have a right to assume. We have a right to make a tremendous assumption. And that is that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. How does this work? Again, we're just going to see this very, very quickly now, superficially. But this is the halacha. There's something called sha'ani yoyma. It says the Gemara, just like you say sha'ani yoyma with regards to truma. So wouldn't it make sense to say sha'ani yoyma with regards to bedikas chametz as well? The achba that was carrying the chametz brought it into the house that didn't do the bedikah yet. And the achba that was carrying the matzah brought it into the house that did the bedikah again. It's the same sha'ani yoyma. Do I have a rational explanation for it? Presumably not. But there's something called Sha'ani Yomer. And if there's a kula in the world called Sha'ani Yomer, so the Gemara says, L'chur, you could apply Sha'ani Yomer over here as well. But talk to Gemara. 1 second. Amen. I mean, Sha'ani Yomer. Maybe when do I say Sha'ani Yomer? But Truma Durabonon. Truma Zok Rashi Durabonon. So the top Rashi Bezman Hazeh. Yeah, nowadays it's Durabonon. So maybe this Braisa was discussing Truma Bezman Hazeh. Truma Bezman Hazeh is a Durabonon. The Rambam Shita is even during Bayesheni, the Chi of Truma Sumaisris was only a Durabonon. So maybe by Truma Durabonon you have this Kul of Sha'ani Yomer. But Bechametz Deiraisa Mi Amrinon. But here we're dealing with this Chametz, Tashbisu, Bayirah, Bayimotzli. Here you're dealing with a Dina Deiraisa. So who's it by Dina Deiraisa? You could say Sha'ani Yomer. Zok de Gemara, Atu Bedikas Chametz Deiraisa. It's true we're dealing with Chametz, which is a Deiraisa de Gepar. But we're dealing with the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, meaning you're doing bittul anyways. The midday rice of a bit of al masagulatim sveitimo. You're anyways going to do bittul. So there's not going to be an isaday rice, so we know you're doing bittul. The question is, do I have to do the din de rabbanon? This halacha that the rabbanon said, because of Rashi, maybe I didn't do a proper bittul, going to Tosfos, because maybe I'm going to find the chametz, I'm going to eat it, and I'll be over the Isra chametz of Achila. But the point is that being that Bidikas chametz is a derabanan, so it's mamish like Truma Bizman Hazeh derabanan. If by Truma Bizman Hazeh, which is a derabanan, we say Shani Yoimer, that's the halach of Shtei Kupos, so Luchuri, you'd be able to say the same thing over here. The next case, Tzibur Echad Shel Chametz. There was only one tzibur, one bundle of chametz, for the fun of Beis Batim, but there were two houses, bedukim. Now both houses did the bedukah. Every case is different. For us, obviously, for us, achbar, vishakal. And then an achbar came, and he brought took the chametz, and he walked in to one of the houses. We're not sure which house the achbar walked into. Now, if you see an achbar holding chametz, he walks into a house, he messes up your whole bedikah. You literally have to go back to the beginning and start all over again. That's the halacha. Over here, you don't know which house he went into. Now, bedikas chametz is a derabanan, right? Let's think about this for a second. Safik derabanan, maybe you can go lekula. So what would be the halacha over here? But you know what's interesting about this case? What's interesting about this case is that there are two houses. Each house, in and of itself, is a safik derabanan. But if you look at the two houses together, the achbar certainly walked into one of the two houses. So if you're going to just say, oh, it's a safik, it's a derabanan, I know midday raisa bebitul ba'al masagile, as a result, this is all din derabanan, you could say shani yoimer, you have all the kulas, so there's no reason you shouldn't be able to make this kula as well and say that sveiki derabanan. Yeah, the problem is, what about the other guy? So you're going to say sveiki derabanan for both of us? That seems insincere. So there's a precedent for this. It's known as Shnei Shvilim. And the Makar to Shnei Shvilim, amongst other places in Shas, is Psachim Daf Yud. And on that note, Sokta Gemara, Hainu Shnei Shvilim. This is mamish the case of the two roads. The Tanan we learned in the Mishnah, Shnei Shvilim were two roads. Echatam Echatar. One of them had Tuma on it, the other one was Tahar. So just the case of Tuma was where Rashi says there was a kever that was Mutol Lirachbay, meaning somebody was buried along the entire width of the shvil, of the path. Which means if somebody's going to walk down this road, he's inevitably going to be tame, because he's going to be mahil. He himself is going to be the oil on top of this mace. And through Tumas oil, he's now going to be tame. So there were two roads. One was tame, one was tame. And somebody went down one of these roads, Vasa Tyrus. And then afterwards he sat down and he touched all the Tyrus in his house. His friend did the same thing. However, he went on the other road, Vasa Tyrus, and he started getting involved in Tyrus. So what's the halacha? Are these people tame or are they tar? So first, what's the halacha in general when you have a Safik Tumah? So it depends where the Tumah is. Special halacha l'moishim Sinai. Safik Tumah b'rshus ha-yachid, sveikoy Tumah. Safik Tumah b'rshus ha-rabim, sveikoy tar. Truth is, Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid Tzvei Ketumah is not a chiddush. Because a person that's presumably Becheskes Tumah, so you would assume that he should be a Safik Tumah. Or Fakir, if a person is Becheskes Tairo, then you would assume that it should probably be Tzvei Ketar. But when it comes to the halachas of Tumah, we don't look at Chazakas. The rule is, Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid Tzvei Ketumah, forget about Chazakas, and Safik forget about the suffix. So the case of Shnei Shvilim, where did this happen? Obviously a Rishus HaRabim. And by the way, just to be clear, the definition of Rishus HaRabim when you learn the halachas of Safik Tumah are not the same as the definition of Rishus HaRabim when you learn Masechtas Erevin. There's no Mishkenes Yaakov and Beis Ephraim when it comes to the definition of Rishus HaRabim. You don't need 600,000 people every day. It doesn't have to be 16 Amos wide. As long as it's a place with the Rabin Dreitzach, that would be enough for it to be. So Shnei Shvilin for sure is a Rishus HaRabim. And if that's the case, each person theoretically is Safik Tameh. The Tumah would have happened in a Rishos HaRabim. So each person has a Safik Tumah Rishos HaRabim. What's the halacha? Svei Kaitar. So if you look at each person individually, really they should be tar. Stating that, Rabbi Yehuda said, Nishal Uzebef Neyatz, Uzebef Neyatz, Meitayu. If both people would come individually, I mean, Reuven comes and he asks his Rav Shaila, and then Shimon goes and he called and asked his Rav Shaila. So the respective Rabbanim should tell their Chevra, each one Yotar, and Yotar. However, Nishalu, Shneyan, Bevasachas, what would be if they came together? Reuven and Shimon walked in together to the Rav, and they say, we both walked down these Shnei Shvilim with the two Batlanim. I don't know if I'm Tameh, he doesn't know if he's Tameh, we touched all the Tahiris, what in the world are we supposed to do right now? So Rabbi Yehuda says Tameh, they're going to be Tameh, because the Rav can't say they're each Tahir, it's not true. It's a Tahir to disaster, one of them is for sure Tameh. So it's true, Safik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Sveik Yitar, but they can't both be Tahir. So as a result, you ask together, you're going to end up being Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Benkach, Benkach, Tameh. No, in either one of these cases, being that there were two, they're always going to be Tameh. The Gemara explains, Omar Rafa, if they literally came and asked the question, everyone's going to say that Tameh. If they asked the question one after another, meaning they didn't come, everyone's going to say they're Tar. Even Rabbi Yossi is going to say Tar. What was the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? This machloikis is going on here. When one person asked, however, he asked for him and for his friend, right? I'm asking for my friend. So he came and he asked for himself and for his Rabbi Yossi, Medam Ulel Bivasachas. Rabbi Yossi looked at it as if it was Bivasachas. And being that the question is being asked for both of them, so it's as if they asked at the same time, as a result, Tameh. Rabbi Yehuda Medam Ulel Bivasachas. So one person asked the Shaila. One person asked the Shaila. We look at it, Lazachas. Ayin Rashi who explains the Gemara next level. But the point is, what do you see from here? Anytime you have a situation like this, where you have a suffix that really you should go lakula with, but at the same time, there are two people that have the shayla, not just one, and each one individually has a suffix for which you should go lakula. But if you look at them together as a unit, one of them for sure has a problem. So how do you view that? It's mamish shnei shvilim. And what's the halacha of shnei shvilim? The Gemara just laid it out. If they ask the question of Vasachas, you have no choice but to go to Chumra for both of them. We don't apply the halacha of Safik Lakula. If they ask the question of Vasachazeh, then you do go Lakula. And if they ask the question, one person asked it on behalf of the both of them, so then already the halacha is going to be that it's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So as it relates to the question of Tzibur Echad Shel Chametz and Ulefanav Beis Batim, and you don't know which house, the Achbar took the chametz into. So the halacha is that, again, it would all depend on how the question was presented. If they would ask the question individually, each one would say you don't have to do a bedikas chametz. If they would ask it together, they would both have to do a bedikas chametz. And if one person asked on behalf of the two of them, it would be telling the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Just to be clear about one point, that the Gemara is telling to Shnei Shvilim to bedikas chametz, even though it's not the same shaila. By Shnei Shvilim, what was the reason to go lakula by the Safik? Safik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Sveik Leitar. By Bedikas Chametz, what was the reason to go Lekula by Safik? Because Bedikas Chametz is a Derabanan, and Sveik a Derabanan Lekula. But at the end of the day, whether you're dealing with a Safik where you go Lekula because of Safik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Sveik Leitar, or you're dealing with a Safik that you go Lekula because it's a Sveik a Derabanan Lekula, either way, we invoke the principle of Shnei Shevilim. And as a result, the Gemara shtelled to the halachos of Bedikas Chametz to the halachos of the Shnei Shevilim. Next shayla, Safik Ol, Safink loyal. What would be if you saw an achbar, he has chametz, he's in your chatz, he's in your backyard. You don't know if he entered the house. You can't find the mouse. You can't find the chametz. You have no idea where he went. Could be he went into your house. Could be he didn't go into your house. We have a makar for this as well. This is the case of the biko. Uba plukta the Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbanon, and it's a machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. The Tanan. We're going to the Mishnah Mesechtis the Hayrois Hanichnas the biko. If somebody enters a very large field, be Meisak Shamin during the winter, v'tuma besad the ploinis, and there was tuma in one of the fields. Now, the significance of the fact that it was Yemoisak Shamim is because a Bika, Bimoisak Shamim, Rashi says, has a din of a Rishus HaYachid. And if it has a din of a Rishus HaYachid, and you have a Safik Tumah, as we're about to see, so you have the halach of Safik Tumah Rishus HaYachid, where Sveik Oitami. So in the previous Gemara, Safik Tumah Rishus HaRabim Sveik Oitar. In this Gemara, it's Safik Tumah Rishus HaYachid, which is Sveik Oitami. But the bottom line is, somebody entered a Bika, so we know it's a question of a Rishus HaYachid, and there's Tuma in the field. Somebody said, so Bika is a very, very large field that has different compartments. It's made up of different sadois. So the Bika is the bigger picture, and each individual plot is a sada. One of the sadois had Tuma. He doesn't know if he entered the sada that had Tuma or didn't. Rabbi Eliezer mitar. Rabbi Eliezer says you're going to be tar. The Chachamim mitame, and the Chachamim say you're going to be tame. Shay Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer used to say safik be a tahar. If you have a safik, if you entered an area where there's tuma, even if the area is a rishus hayachin, and ordinarily safik tuma rishus hayachin tzvekei tame, but that's only if you know for sure you were there, and you have a safik if you came in contact with it. But if you don't even know if you were there, even Bershus HaYachid, the halach is Safik Tum is going to go Lekula. Safik Maga, if it's a question of Maga, they're ready, the halach is going to be Tame. Now the Chachamim argue. The Chachamim say that even a Safik Bia is going to be Tame. So at first glance, what does it sound like the Gemara is saying? That this Shaila of Safik Ol, Safik Loyal, we're not sure if the Achbar brought the Chametz into your house or didn't bring the Chametz into your house. When the Gemara says that this is Mamish to Machloik between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, it sounds like what the Gemara is saying is a coin, Rabbi Eliezer. When you have a question of Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid, although the Halacha usually is Sveikai Tumah, but if you have a Safik, if you entered or didn't enter, then you go Lekula. So to here, you're going to go Lekula. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you look at a Safik Bia as if it was a Safik Maga, doesn't matter if the Safik is, did I touch it, or the Safik is, was I even there at the end of the day? Either way, you're going to go L'chumra, so it sounds like over here you would go L'chumra as well. Stating that, Rashi says, I don't think that's Pshar in the Gemara. I think what the Gemara is saying is that according to everybody, in this case, you're going to go L'kula. Because even the Chachamim, who were Metama in that case, were only Metama, because at the end of the day, you were dealing with a Tumah that's a Dairaisa, and it was a Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid, and Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid, which is a Din Dairaisa, they don't make a distinction between Safik Bia versus Safik Maga. At the end of the day, a Safik is a Safik is a Safik. But in our case, when you're dealing with the Derabbanan, once you find Rabbi Eliezer Metaher, you see the kula, the leniency, the distinction between a Safik Bia and a Safik Maga, even though that's only Rabbi Eliezer, but the Svara that underlines Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is a Svara that is universally accepted. And at the very least, although the Chachamim didn't want to apply it, when it comes to Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid, you could apply it by Bedikas Chametz, which is only a din d'rabbanan. Next case, Al Ubadak V'lo Yashkach. What would be if somebody saw an achbar take Chametz and bring it into his house? Okay, he knows he has to do a Bedikas Chametz. He went and he did a Bedikah, but he couldn't find the Chametz. He can't find it. So what's the halacha? Plukta d'rameya v'rabbanan. It's really totally in a machloikis between Rameyer and the Rabbanon. The Tanam we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Mesechtes Bechoyros. Rameyer used to say, Kol davar shebecheskas tuma. Anytime you have a situation that's becheskas tuma, lo'ilam u'betumasai, it remains tuma ad sheyivado l'cha tuma heichani, unless you can find the tuma. So for example, if you know there's a caver in a field, you have to dig and try to find that caver. And if you can't find it, I'm sorry, the field's always going to be becheskas tuma. Unless you can find it, the source of the problem, the issue is always going to be, you try your best. What, you have to start digging underground to try to find this? I mean, you have to find it as much as you can find it. But once you get to land that's besula, that's virgin land, at that point, you know there's nothing underneath it. And as a result, you have nothing to worry about. But so just like you see a machloikis between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, something was becheskas tumah, I'm trying to find the tumah, I was boidik, I tried my best.
According to Rav Meir, it always remains tumah. According to the Chachamim, no, you try your best and now you're done with it. Here too, the Achbar brought the chametz into the house. You had done the bedika. Now you have to do another bedika. You have no choice. The question is, I tried, I can't find it. So does that mean that's it, it's over, I have to move out of my house for Yontif? Or does it mean I tried my best, I'm going to be okay? So what does it sound like? According to Rav Meir, that called David Shabbacheskas, Tumma Loidam Abutum Asa, Yachi Vadalcha, Tumma Hecha knows it, you're going to have a problem. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you bite the Gacha Megillah, Selah, the Karkib, so you do a Badika, you bite the Bechayr of his stock. If you can't find it, you can't find it. However, Rashi says the same thing he said on the previous Gemara. That I don't think the Gemara is saying, Zok Rashi, that at the end of the day, the Allah is going to be telling the Machalik's remain in the Chachamim. The Gemara is saying that according to everybody, even according to Rav Meir over here, you're going to go Lakula. Meaning, once you find the Shitas HaChachamim, that is an idea, and then it's enough, even though Rav Meir argued over there, but the reason Rav Meir argued over there is because we're dealing with Tumah Deiraisa. But being that B'dikas Chametz again is only a Durabanan, this underpins the whole sugya. Being that we're dealing with B'dikas Chametz, that's only a Durabanan. So for something Durabanan, you tried your best. Over here, everyone's going to agree that you have the proverbial B'dik HaChemagil, Aselai, Lekarka, Besula, and you're going to be okay. Another Shaila. Of Ubadak Vashkach. You did B'dikas Chametz, you're done. Now you see a mouse holding Chametz on its back, walking into your house. You have no choice. You have to do Badika again. You run inside, you do Badika, and lo and behold, you found the bagel. Or at least you think you did. So here's the question. As soon as you find Chametz, you're done? You can go home now? You could stop? Or do we say, no, once you're chayiv to do a Badika, you have to do a Badika all over again. And maybe you don't have a right to assume that this is necessarily what it was. So again, somebody went in, he did the Badika, and he found it. So am I done or not? Plukta de Rebbe, v'Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. This is totally in another sugya. B'chalik Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. Tanya learned in a b'raisa. Sadish and Evad b'kever. There was a field, and a kever was lost. Said Allah is like this. Hanichnas l'toich ha-tameh. If somebody enters that field, he's now going to be tameh. Nimtza b'kever. What if you found the kever? Oh, now you're done. So you found the kever. You remove it, and nichnas l'toich hatar. Now you're going to be okay. Why? Shani yomer kevin shaver kevin shenimtza. You know there was a kever that was lost, and you called Misaskin. They found it, so you're okay now. Divrei Rebbe Shimon Gamliel loymer. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel said no. Tibade kol asada kula. He says just because you found the kever doesn't mean you're done with it. You actually have to be baidik the whole field. Once this field was becheskas, that there was a caver there, even though you found, it's a very big chiddush, right? But even though you found a caver, you're going to have to do an entire badika. So the Gemara says, whether or not olu badak v'ashkach, what the halacha is going to be, is really totally in this machloikis between Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. According to Rebbe, kever sha'avad hu kever sha'nimtza, when you find a kever, you can assume this is the one that was lost. Oh, bagel sha'avad hu bagel sha'nimtza, right? It's the same halacha. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who says, tibade kol asada kula, same as true badikas chametz. You found the bagel? Who cares? Doesn't matter. You have no choice, but you have to do a bedika on the entire house. Hiniach tes umatzayud. What would be if somebody set aside 9 bundles of chametz, and then he shows up and he found 10? So what's the shaila? Here's the shaila. Obviously, these 10 are chametz. You have to get rid of them. The question is, you have to assume there's a whole different bundle. Meaning, there's 2 ways to rationalize what happened over here. The 9 are the same 9 that you left, and that's sancta. Somehow showed up. I guess the Achbar or the Chuldo or the Bardalis, one of the Krichadiga Chayas must have brought it in. But that's what we're going to assume. The 9 are the same 9. You just have to now deal with the 10th. They're all here. You're good to go. Or do you have to assume I had 9? So if I found 10 now, that means a different 10. That means there's 9 somewhere else in my house. So I have to go do another bedika to find the other 9. That's the question. So the Gemara says also a machlokes. Plukta de Rebbe v'Rabbanan de Tanan. We learned in a braisa, the Tanya, haniach mana. If somebody had a mana of Maisa Sheni money, he had it aside. Umatzim aside. And then he shows up. And this is a good story. He found not $100, he found $200. So the halacha is like this. We assume the 100 is the 100 that you left aside. That was Maisa Sheni money. So $100 is Maisa Sheni. The other 100, we're going to assume is chulin. There's no reason to assume it's Maisa Sheni money. So you have a taruvas of $100 Maisa Sheni money and $100 of chulin money. Chacham say, no, it's all chulin. It's different money.
different pair of pants, right? This is $200, not the same $100 that you had. This is something else. The $100 of Maisa Sheni money is floating around somewhere, but this is a different $200. What's the principle? Do you assume that being that it's not what I left, it must be something completely different? Or no, the 100 is the same 100. I just added it. It's not much the same shot. Do a 9 tzibur, but now I found a 10. So do we assume that it's 9 plus the 1? Oh no, this is a whole different 10. As a result, you have to do another bedikah. What would be in the reverse case? You left 10, and all of a sudden you found 9. So Gemara says, Hainu Seifa. That's the Seifa of the previous price that we just mentioned. The Machloikis Rebbe and Rabbanon has a Seifa. And there too, it's Machloikis Rebbe and the Chachamim. What if somebody left 200 and he found 100? Mana munach, mana mutal, the Rebbe. Rebbe says, okay, so you assume that 100 of it was taken. 100 is munach. The other 100 was mutal. It was taken away. But if the 200 that you left were Maisa Sheni money, so now 100 of it is going to be Maisa Sheni. Where's the other $100 of Maisa Sheni? I don't know. I mean, there's no chiv to look for it. But wherever it is, it's Maisa Sheni money. But what we need to know is that this $100 that's left is Maisa Sheni. Chama hakol chul. Chama saying, no, it's a different $100. You left $200, you didn't leave $100. As a result, this is a whole different deal. And we look at it, so it's the same Shiloh. You had 10 and now you found 9. Do we assume it's just one that's missing? By the way, in this case, Maman of Shach, you have to look. The question is, are you looking for 1 or are you looking for 10? Do we assume that the 9 are 9 of the 10, so I just have to find the 1? Or do we assume, no, I left 10, this is 9, the 10 went somewhere. And if that's the case, I'm not looking for 1, I'm actually looking for 10. One last question. You left bundles of chametz in one corner, and then you found it in another corner. What's the question? It's not where I left it. Maybe I have to assume it's something else. So where's the thing that I left? I don't know, it's lost. Go start hunting for it. Or no, maybe I made a mistake. I thought it was in this corner, it was really in that corner. So the Gemara says, this too is a machlokes tanoim. Plukta, the Rab Shimon ben Gamliel v'Rabbanon, on the Tanya we learned in the Braisa, kardoim she'ovad. If somebody had a kardoim, he had a hammer or some sort of sledgehammer, and it was lost. Bebayis, said, Allah is a bayis tome. It's very big chiddush. The whole house becomes tome. Who said anything about Tumah, right? You lost your Karadim, the whole house is Tumah. You have to do everything over again. Why? Because I lost my Karadim. So what's Pashup Shat? Shani Oimer. Because it looks like somebody must have came into your house and taken your Karadim. That person, if he's bad enough that he's willing to walk into your house and steal your Karadim, you have to assume that he's probably not careful when it comes to Tumah V'Tahira. So we're suspicious now that he's Tumah. So to add insult to injury, not only don't you have your Karadim, but you have to kasher your house. That's the halacha. Shani Oimer, because I assume Adam Tomei Nichnas L'Shomer Nakhlai, that the person that came in and took the Kardim was probably Tomei. Shimon Gamliel Oimer. Shimon Gamliel says, Abai is Tar. No, the bias is Tar. Why? Shani Oimer, because I assume Hishiloi La'achar V'Shachach. Don't get so dramatic. Somebody stole it and he was Tomei and he started touching it. Relax. You probably lent it to somebody. You don't remember. Tomorrow someone's going to knock on your door. He's going to thank you for giving you his kardim. And you're going to get it back. Or this is what we need. Or maybe you took it from one corner, you put it into another corner. And you forgot which corner. Zavis, man dachar shmei. Who said anything about a corner? Right? We're talking about a kardim that's lost. The Chachamim say, very big chiddush. We assume someone stole it. The person was tameh. Thus, the whole house is tameh. Shimon Gamliel says, no, we assume you probably loaned it to somebody. And said, or maybe he took it from one corner and put it to another corner. Gemara says, who's saying anything about corners? We're obviously missing something, right? Gemara says, yeah. Chsure mechsura v'hachik tani. We have to edit the brayse a little bit. Kardim sha'av ha-bayis, ha-bayis tam. Shani yoimer adam tami nechnas l'sham v'not. Or second halacha, this is already where we're inserting. Shenicha b'zavazu ha-matzah b'zavaz ha-cheres. Or what would be the halacha if somebody had a kardim, he knew for sure he had it in one corner. It was in Mizrachis Tfaymas. And then he came back and he found it in Maravis Dreymas. And he found it in a different corner in the house. Habayis tami. I mean, this is like really a chiddush. The whole house is tami. Shani yoimer adam tami nechnas l'sham. A tummy person walked into your house and he's playing with you. Your whole house is tummy. No, your house is not tummy. Habai is tummy. In the first case, it's tummy. You probably lent it to somebody, you just don't remember. Or in the second case, where you put it in one corner, you found it in another corner. You put it in one corner, it ended up in another corner. You had simply forgotten about it. But what's the bottom line? You see over here, machloikis between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. When it comes to a situation where I'm pretty sure I put it in one corner, I found it in another corner, where there's halachic implications. So could we assume that maybe I just confused one corner with the other corner? Or no, I think I put it in this corner. From a halachic perspective, I have to assume I put it in this corner. And you have no right to think you put it in a different corner. Where's the negeya in the case of the machloikis between Rishon Gamliel and the Rabbanon, where there was a kardon that you put in one corner and I found it in another corner? If I have to assume that I got right what I think I did, and I know which corner I put it in, that means somebody moved it. That person might be Tameh. Misafik, your whole house now is Tameh. If... What's the nafkemina as it relates to chametz, where I put chametz in one corner and now I found it in another corner? Do I have to assume the chametz that I left is not the chametz that I found, and as a result I have to start searching all over my house? Or could I assume it's the same chametz? Either way, if you go back and you add up all the cases, we won't recap it because each one is really individual. But if you go back and you recap the different cases, it's 10 in total. But the bottom line is this is where bedikas chametz meets really Shas, and just all these different shilas that the Gemara went through of how you deal with Sveikis, some fascinating shilas. But we will do what we do, and the Gemara is going to conclude with some more shilas, a little less intense, but some more shilas as it relates to Bedikas Chametz. Amar Rava, Rava said, Achbar Nichnas. An achbar, a mouse, entered your house, the kikar befiv, and he had a kikar, he had a little bit of, he had a cookie, he had some bread inside his mouth. V'nichnas acharav, and then you followed after him, umatza pirurim, and you found pirurim, you found crumbs on the floor. Meaning, you don't see the achbar, you don't see the kikar, but you see pirurim, you see crumbs on the floor. So what's the shayla? The shayla is, do I assume the pirurim is the kikar? Or maybe it's not, sarach bedika, you have to do a bedika. Nesha, in darkish al achbar lefarer. Because it's not the way an achbar eats his kikar. He doesn't make crumbs, doesn't leave a mess. This is not what it is. But my Rav is a tinek nichnas v'kikar b'yad. If you see a kid, however, and he enters the house, and he has a kikar in his hand, v'nichnas achrav, you went out, matzah perum, ain't tzark b'dik. You don't have to do b'dik, you just found it. That's the smoking gun. Mipnei shetarka shol tinek lefarer. Because this is what a tinek does, and this is, the achbar doesn't, but the tinek does. But Rav, so Rav knew both of those shaylas. But Rav said, this I don't know about. Achbar nichnas. What would be if an achbar entered the kikar befiv? And he had a kikar inside his mouth. And then all of a sudden, you're watching this all happen. V'achbar yoytze. All of a sudden, you see an achbar is going out. Right? They're coming in, they're going out. But he's coming in the other direction, this traffic. V'kikar b'viv. And he also has a kikar in his mouth. Ma'u, what's the halacha? What's the shayla? Me and Rina, do we say hainu hai? It's the same achbar. I guess you don't have such a tvias ayin in the achbar. You don't know him that well. So you can't tell whether it's the same achbar. So do you assume it's the same achbar? Okay, so that's great. So you're done. You don't have to do b'di. Because the same kikar that went in just went out. He did the bedika for you. Or maybe you have to assume it's a different achbar, different kikar, and now you have to go searching again. If you're going to say that, yeah, it's fair to assume that it's the same achbar, right? What would be achbar love nichnas? A white mouse brought a kikar in. Then you saw a black mouse come out. It's definitely not the same mouse. So from the mouse perspective, you're definitely different dealing with another mouse. But just because the mouse is not the same, maybe it's the same kikar. Maybe one achbar grabbed it from the other achbar, and as a result, you can have it. You can tell me, no, achbarim, they don't do this. They don't grab one from the other. What would be if achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiv? Achbar went in with a kikar in his mouth. V'chul de yoitza. And now a weasel, a chulda came out, the kikar b'fiyah, and has a kikar mouth. Chulda vadim achbar shaklus. That's pashit. In the Hilchas animal kingdom, a chulda is going to grab food out of the mouth of an achbar. That's not it. An achbar, maybe not. But a chulda, zikr, yeah. So do you say that being that the chulda will for sure do it, so we're going to assume that it's probably from the achbar, there's no reason to do a batika. You just found the kikar. Idil ma'achrinu. Or no, maybe it is achrina. And by the way, we have a reason to assume that. Because if you're going to say that it came from the achbar, achbar b'fiyah have a mishtakach. Because the way the chulda would have taken it, he's not just going to take the bread. He wants the entree too. He's going to take the achbar with it. So you would have found the achbar in the mouth of the chulda. The fact that he just grabbed the kikar, that's not such a good tevimtim. So let's take that assumption. That in this case, if the chulda is walking out with the kikar, we don't assume it's from the achbar, because if it's from the achbar, where's the achbar? Oh, what would be like this? Achbar nichnas. V'kikar b'fiv. Again, all these cases in today's daf started off with a mouse and a piece of bread. So the achbar enters the house with a piece of bread. The chulda yaitza, and then all of a sudden you see a chulda, the kikar, and a piece of bread, the achbar, and the mouse, b'fi chulda.
So again, this is very technical, but it's very important. So you see the chulda walks out, has two things in his mouth, the chulda. Chulda has an achbar in its mouth and a kicker in its mouth. Wow, what's the hacha? Vadai yuhu? Oh, done. I mean, this is the achbar, it was the kicker. Now the chulda, the kicker, and the achbar. So here the chulda did the bedika for you. So you're good. I don't know. No. Im isa di iu niu. If this is the chulda and this is the achbar and this is the kicker, kicker befi achbar mishtakach. Have a boy ishtakuchi, little wordy. But you would have assumed that the kicker would have still been in the mouth of the achbar, and the achbar with the kicker in its mouth would have been in the mouth of the chulda. Doesn't that's not what happened? Over here, you have the achbar luchud and you have the kicker luchud. I don't know. Maybe no. What would be the rationalization? Mishum be asusa who nafal v'shaglasay. When the achbar saw the chulda, so it's jaw dropped literally. As a result, the kicker fell out of its mouth. The chulda grabbed the kicker, grabbed the achbar. Now it's running for its life. But either way, so maybe there is a rationalization for that. So what's the bottom line? Teiku tishbi yataritz kushias v'havayas. Okay, Gemara boy Rava. One more shayla. Kicker b'shmei kaira. This is completely unrelated. This shayla has nothing to do with a mouse. What would be if there was a kicker that was b'shmei kaira? It's literally it's on your roof. So you have beams on top of your ceiling, and on top of the beams, you have a sandwich. Tzarech sulam lahiridai ain't tzarech. When you come to do bedikas chametz, do you need to take a ladder to climb up to bring it down, or do you not? Now you're gonna tell me one second. What's the shayla? You can't have chametz in your house. It doesn't matter if it's b'shmei kaira. Who cares where it is? How you allowed to have chametz in your house? The Teretz says, no, we're dealing with bedikas chametz d'rabbanan. You're doing bittel. You're not going to be over any Yisurah de'raisa, because mid-de'raisa b'bittel ba'al masagile. All you're dealing with over here is an issa d'rabbanan. So this is the question. The question is, do I have to do bedik? I have to krich chayrim v'stakin yeh. But do I have to bring a ladder and climb all the way to shmei kaira? This was Rav Shaila. I ain't tzarech. So what are the two tzadim? So listen to the tzadim. Me amrino, do you say, kuli hay v'yachachur rabbanan? The Rabbanan weren't matriach you to do such a bedikah. Kiva diloy nachas minafsheh. Because, let's be honest, how are you going to get to this sandwich on Pesach? You're not. And being that that's, you're never going to get to it, you're never going to come to eat it. So if you're never going to come to eat it, why would I have to do a bedikah? Oidoma, or perhaps zimnin denaf of asilam echla. Maybe it's going to fall. And if it falls, then you're going to come to eat it. That was the shayla. Do you have to assume I'm never going to come to eat it anyway, so why should I have to do a badika? Or maybe it's going to fall down. I am going to come to eat it. And if I'm going to come to eat it, so maybe it's a rav imtim, so I'm going to do enough of us to make a kika. If you're going to tell me that, no, you have to assume maybe it's going to fall. And therefore, I have to do a badika. What would be if the kika was bibar? It was inside a pit. Tzarech sulam lahaloisa? I ain't tzarech. Do I have to now go down the pit, take the sulam, not to go up, but to go down to bring it out, or not? What's the shayla? Hach over here, vadai dloy avida the salki minasha. Right, if something is very high up, it can always fall down. But if something is very low down, how's it coming up? Gravity pushes you down; it doesn't bring you up. So how would it come up? See, there's no way it's going to come up. So if there's no way it's going to come up, here for sure you don't have to do what you go. And then the nachis lemevad tzorche. You never know. I mean, you have the pit there for a reason; it serves some purpose, I guess. So there's always the possibility that you're going to go down there during yontif. V'asil lemecha, you're going to see it. Oh, great! Have lunch, and you're going to come to eat it. So that's the shaila. Do you have to be concerned, or do you not have to be concerned? Just before we go weiter, I mean, you can't read the next word without speaking this out. What's the obvious kasha over here? So the Gemara has two shaylas, Rava shaylas regarding bedikas chametz. Do I have to do bedikas chametz if I have chametz in my house that the chances of me eating this chametz on Pesach are highly unlikely? It's really, really high, or it's very, very low. It's not mistabra I'm going to eat it. Do we say I have to do bedikah anyways, or do I not have to do bedikah? V'chayr, it's totally machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, right? According to Rashi, why do you do bedikas chametz? Because we're afraid you didn't do a proper bittel. So if we're afraid you didn't do a proper bittel, so there's a chashash bayirah bayimatzi. Am I ever bayirah bayimatzi if I have chametz b'shmei kaira? Am I ever bayirah bayimatzi if I have chametz deep in a ditch? As a result, avada, I should have to do a bedikas chametz. Tosfos said that why do you do bedikas chametz? Shem yim tzuklus ko yofi, you're going to eat it. Oh, it has something to do with achilah. So at first glance, this would seem to be the biggest raya in the world to Tosfos Shita. You know what brings this raya to Tosfos Shita? Tosfos. So if you go back to Tosfos, that based on an aleph, Tosfos says, v'niruliri. The afal gav to sagi bebito ba'alma hichmiru chachamim livdoi chametz ulevaroi shelo yavoi la'ochloi.
V'chein mashma l'kaman daf yud amid beis. The boy Rava kikav shmeikay Rava chulu. I domazim the nafa vasil amechle. Says Tosfos, it's a mafurish gemara. It essentially doesn't say it's mafurish. V'chein mashma, says Tosfos. It's only mashma that way. It sounds like checkmate, right? Rashi obviously learned this gemara somehow, and even Tosfos was willing to entertain another way to learn the gemara because he didn't say v'chein mochach, right? You have to be medayik l'shoyne azov shal Tosfos. He said v'chein mashma. So even Tosfos saw that there was a way to maybe learn it differently. But the bottom line is those are the two shailas in the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. In tim tzulay mazim in the naschis litzurche vasli lemecha ki vasli lemechlo. So Rashi takes out these words. So we'll skip those words. Next word kika befinachash. What would be if you're doing bedikas chametz and you have a pet snake and the snake has a kikar, has bread inside its mouth? Do you have to do a bedika or not? Now how would you do a bedika? Right, you don't want to do this on your own, but do you have to call a professional and have him come and rip the kikar out of the mouth of the nachash? Ain't sarach. What's the question? I mean, the first question sounds like, do you have to risk your life to do bedikas chametz? But we know you don't. That's a gemara and daf ches. There's no halacha, even though shluchim mitzvah in nizaykin. The question is something else. The question is begufei atrichu rabbanim, bememoynei lo atrichu rabbanim. The rabbanim required you to do bedikah, which by definition means you have to work on it. It's a tercha to do bedikah. So the rabbanim required you to sweat in order to do bedikah. But to spend money, that's maybe something the rabbanim didn't require you to do. Maybe there's no difference. Meaning, in order for you to do bedikah, it's not about just schwitzing a little bit more. It's about actually spending money. And that's the question. Do you have to swipe your credit card to do bedikas chametz? Or maybe not. Avada bedikas chametz, you need to be matriach for. Bedika by definition is a dover sheyesh baitercha. The question, however, is maybe it's only begufei atrichu rabbana, but bemamaynoi loy atrichu rabbana. Or maybe not. And here too, the Gemara says, teiku tishbi yataris kushis vavayis.